Matthew chapter 28. Let's start at verse number 26. 28 and 26. Let's get that one. You just caught on to it.
Oh, yeah.
28 and 16. Praise the Lord. That preacher was on an airplane one time and talked to this old fella. And he said, what kind of profession are you? And he's some type of a educated college man, had all kinds of degrees. And he said, what are you? He said, I'm a preacher of the gospel. I'm on my way to preach revival. And he said, there ain't nothing to that Bible. He said, I've read it from front to back. He said, it's all false. There ain't nothing to it. The preacher said, you ain't read it all. He said, I've read every bit. He said, I bet you ain't read the book of Jerusalem. He said, I've read the book of Jerusalem. He said, I bet you ain't read the book. And he named two or three names, you know. And he said, he read them books. He said, I know for a fact you ain't read it because them are not books in the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glory to God. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Amen. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. I love this. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is the Great Commission, I guess you will. Amen. Jesus telling his great disciples to go ye therefore and teach all nations, teach the whole world. Tell everybody about the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And can I tell you, since this day, that's what's been happening. Amen. This is the grace dispensation that God has been pouring out his spirit and his mercy upon the church all these days. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. And when Mary, Jesus's mother found Jesus one time in the temple, amen, they had went about a day's journey, remember?
Yeah.
And they found out Jesus wasn't with them, and they go back, hallelujah, and they found him in the temple teaching, amen, the lawyers and the doctors. And she said, naturally, like any mother would do, what are you doing? Amen. We thought you was with us. We thought we knew where you were, amen. Jesus said these words, I have been about my Father's business. Amen. That's what I'd like to preach a little bit about here tonight and today, if the Lord would help us. Amen. Being about the Father's business. That's why you and I are here today. Amen. That's why God saved us and put us into this, amen, realm of the church, if you will, so that we could be about the Father's business. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said in another place, but he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one unto another, Have any of you brought him aught to eat? And Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me,
yes,
and to finish his work. Amen. I come to tell you here today, he's got a work to be done, don't he?
Right.
Amen. Right. But I have greater witness, he said another time, than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Amen. God even sent the Son, Jesus, to do a work. Amen. He said in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Hallelujah. He said in another place, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And when Jesus therefore had received vinegar and said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost, he finished what the Father gave him to do. Amen. Oh, if the Father's will was that important that Jesus must keep the will of the Father, how much more important is the will of God that you and I should keep it? Amen. Great God in heaven, that the Lord would help us for just a few moments tonight. I'm going to preach how that we must be about the Father's business. Amen. How that we must be working while we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. Amen. First, I'd like to ask us a question. What is his work? Amen. What is the work of the Master? Amen. The work that Jesus assigned his church. Well, it's a threefold work. He said, to go ye therefore and teach them. Great God. He said, to go tell them, amen, about the good news of the gospel. Amen. We are to teach all nations. We are to take the gospel of grace unto all men. I don't have this happen to me often, but this afternoon, Brother George, after I'd spent a good deal of time back there trying to study and prepare for this service today, I walked out, amen, most of the time, about 30 minutes to church time, there's already folks here, but today there wasn't. About 1:30, 1:25, I walked out into this dark sanctuary. Well, it's super dark, but no lights on. And I looked out across the amen crowd where there would be folks, but there wasn't. And Brother Chuck, all of a sudden, I guess it was kind of a spiritual trance, if you will. I looked and I saw you sitting there. Amen. And I saw this one and this one and this one. And I can't say I'm some super spiritual figure. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I saw folks in their spots that they sit in. And my heart broke, amen. And I felt the compassion of the Lord. And I said, oh God, help us to be about your business. Amen. I come to tell us, there's more to it, Sister Dottie. As I look at life, as I look at people, they just go and go and go and they work their jobs. I'm just looking at the ordinary American here. They get up early in the morning, 6, 7 o'clock, and they rush out the door, rush through a drive-thru, go down to work, wear theirself out, come home. A lot of times do the same thing. Run through a drive-thru, go home, sit and watch the box for 2 or 3 hours. Go get ready for bed and get it up and do all over again. I come to tell us life's about more than that. Amen. There's more to life than the same old, same old, same old. There's more to life than just watching it for old me, my four, and no more. I come to tell us Jesus said to go tell all nations about the goodness of God. Tell about sin and its consequences, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Oh yes, tell them, amen, about the love of God. For God so loved the world and he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever should believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Tell them, amen, about how that Christ, amen, died and resurrected again. Amen. Corinthians said, for I delivered unto you first of all, amen, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. God said, tell them how that Jesus lived, and he died, and he got back up. Amen. Great God in heaven. Yeah. Tell the world about the good hope of the gospel. Tell the world about salvation. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. Hey, unto salvation. Invite them to believe in the gospel. goodness of God. Tell the world that there's more to live for than getting up in the morning and rushing out the door and working 8 hours and sitting around 2 or 3 hours watching the box. Amen. Letting the kids live their life and mom and dad live their life. Never go to church. Never anchor yourself around the primary thing of life, which is God. And then our families fall apart. Our lives fall apart. Our homes fall apart. Our communities fall apart. Our state has fallen apart. Our country has fallen. And we say, why are we here? I'll tell you why we're here. We're not about the Father's business. We're not doing what He's called us to do. We can't find happiness outside of the will of God.
Right.
All right.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you know the Bible said that? Woo!
Right.
Now notice the first word here is go. If the Lord has called His church to do anything, it is to go into the world and preach the gospel.
Yes. Amen.
Men like Don Rich, men like Tim Hudson, many missionaries have spent their life going around the world, not only in America, but around the world preaching the gospel. Amen. Why do that? Some people think that's silly. Have given campaigns and take up money to send a man somewhere that you and I have never been. Some people think that's silly. Amen. But God thinks that's just fine. Amen. He said to go into all the world. If you got to go halfway around the world, it's worth it to tell somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm getting ready to come down your road in a minute. I'm not a preacher, Brother Jason. You can still tell people about the Lord. Amen. Amen. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know what the Lord did? Go tell it to every man.
Yeah.
What the Lord do to you? David said He picked me up and He pulled me out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet on the solid rock. Go tell everybody what He's done for you. Oh yes. Amen. Just presenting the gospel, amen, to someone isn't always just enough. But not only did He say go tell them, but He said telling involves transforming. Jesus mentioned baptism. Amen. He is referring to water baptism, immersion. Amen. Not for salvation, but because of salvation. Did you hear that? Baptism is a sign to the world that a sinner has trusted Jesus as his Savior, and it is a public profession of our faith. The old man is going down, and in the newness of life, a brand new man is getting up. What Jesus said, He said, go tell them in all the world about the good news of Jesus Christ, baptizing them. Amen. It shows an act of transformation. The Lord has changed you. Hey, hold on. Now here's where it's going to tighten down just a little bit. Yeah, I'm still an old-fashioned preacher, Brother Chuck. I still preach and believe when Jesus gets in your heart, He'll change the way you walk. He'll change the way you talk. He'll change the places you hang out. He'll change the things you want to look at. He'll change the amen places you want to go to. When it gets in your heart, you'll quit cussing. You'll quit fussing. Hey, you'll quit acting like the devil. Come on. Amen. There's a transformation that takes place when the living God of this world gets in your heart. He'll change who you are. Somebody said, I can't quit that. I can't quit doing this. I can't either. But when He comes in, you're a brand new man. Paul said those things that I used to like to do, I don't like them anymore. And those things I used to didn't care about, that's what I like now. He'll change you. He'll transform you into the person that you need to be. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's a part of the gospel that's rarely preached anymore. We want to just add Jesus to our life.
Come on.
And adding Jesus don't work.
Oh,
amen. Amen.
Woo!
Come on, bro.
No, it won't.
Oh, brother, I never forgot this. I guess old brother Pigflocker's still living. But he took several pills. He's on several medications. And several years ago, he's an old man then. He's got bad Alzheimer's now. Dementia, whatever you call it. And anyway, he said, I told the doctor, he said, Brother Jason, he said, I told the doctor, said, I'm having a hard time remembering. I'm forgetting everything. He said, the doctor looked at me and smiled and said, that's all right, Pete. We got a pill for that. Amen. Woo! Add another pill to the... I tell you, I gave people pills. Look, Tommy at St. Mary's, when I was a nurse. You ever seen them little medicine cups?
Oh, yeah.
They filled the cup to the top. Be honest with you, I was afraid they'd get me for murder for giving it to them. Amen? Giving them that much pills. Hallelujah. But that's the way we are. We got a cup full of pills. We got a cup full of life's problems. And we think just adding another one to the mix will fix the problem. Oh no, Jesus said, when I come in, everything else goes out. That's why I believe in preacher that if you're a cusser before you got saved, you'll stop cussing. If you still cuss, you're still a sinner. You still drink the bottle, amen, you're a sinner. You still live like the world. You ain't got him out of your heart, because when Jesus comes in, he'll change things. I said he'll change the dressing room. Come on, you won't still watch that garbage. Come on, he'll change your mind frame. He'll change what you want to look at. That's why you can't look at that garbage on a computer and at that garbage on your phones and tell them dirty jokes on the job and still get by. He'll transform who you are.
Yes, sir.
I gotta move on here.
Woo!
Hallelujah!
Thank you, Lord.
This leads me to believe that just presenting the gospel to somebody is not enough.
Come on.
I believe in the Romans road.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm not here pushing over denomination now, but the Baptists pushed the Romans road.
Yeah.
Amen.
Sure.
And the girls and I and Michelle, they probably remember about 2 or 3 years ago. We went clear up around Cincinnati to a Bible printing press, and they printed the book of John and the book of Romans anytime. It was the first time they had published the Bible. Tommy talking about the languages, 300 to 500, this nation, and the tip, they showed us where it was. Brother George, in the tip of Africa, they spoke a very odd dialect. They had never had the gospel published in their language all the way until a few years ago. They had never had, so they don't just send the, amen, whole Bibles down. So the first push, they pushed the book of John and the book of Romans. And that's a good place to start, amen?
Yeah.
Because John and Romans, amen, tells us how to get to the Savior. Hallelujah. The book of John and the book of Romans presents us the gospel plan. Hey, and I come to tell you tonight, I thank God for the gospel plan. I thank God for a preacher that told me how to be saved. But it goes farther than that, church. You might as well say amen.
Yeah.
I ain't going to stop. I said it goes farther than that. Once you get saved, that's the starting place. Once you get him in your heart. Well, Jason, I've been trying to get a new job. I want that job. I sought for that job. I put an applicant and I finally got that job. When you get the job, it ain't done. That's just the start. Then you got to learn. Then you got to try to do your best. That's the way it is with salvation. When you get saved, that's just the starting place. Hey, some people say, I'm just going to live in front of them and let them pick up on it. That's a bunch of hogwash. The Bible said, preach the gospel. Amen. Exhorting them. Amen. To all righteous. Tell them what it is to live right. Tell them what the Word of God says. Hey, we're short in America today for preachers to preach the Word of God.
Yes.
Woo!
Praise God.
Woo!
Yes, sir.
Churches and preachers are scared smack to death to preach the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Prayer, you run the crowds off.
Yeah.
Amen. And I don't want to run no crowds off. I don't want to run nobody in this house up. But I tell you what I also don't want to do. I don't want to stand on judgment day with blood dripping on my hands because I didn't warn the people and because I didn't tell them to go tell the world that the good news is that I didn't tell them that once they get the good news, then they'll transform and they'll live right. They'll walk right. They'll talk right. And they'll spit white. Come on. And I come to tell us here today, when Jesus gets in your heart, he changes who you are.
Yes.
Woo. Pray for me. I got a lot yet to go.
Come on.
This leads me, amen, to believe, I already told you, that just presenting the gospel is not enough. We are to help them come to the place where they are willing to make a stand for Jesus. After all, Jesus said that if men would be ashamed of him, that he'd be ashamed of them. I don't want to get on judgment day and him be ashamed of me.
Right.
Oh no! I had to preach Friday. Be honest with you, it's a hard thing to do. I hardly knew Doris. She came here for a short period of time, but the whole time she came, she had dementia. I tried to talk to her, never knew a lot about her. Went and preached about 60 or 70. Friday, people I didn't know, a woman I didn't really know. I was a nervous wreck, to be honest with you. Amen. So I prayed and said, Lord, what would you have me preach? And they said, it's easy. Just preach about me. Tell them about Jesus. I come to tell you, that's all it is. Jesus. Jesus. All in Jesus. Give him the praise. When Jesus comes in the midst, he cleans house. He shakes things up. Amen. That's what we need today. We need some people to fall in love with Jesus. We need some people that aren't ashamed of Jesus. We need some people that love God again.
Hallelujah. 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 Sure.
Pray for me.
Love him.
Thank you. Why? Why are we baptized in the Father, Son, Holy Ghost? I tell you why, because Bob said do it that way.
You're right.
Yes.
Later. Sure.
That's an easy cop out, ain't it? But I'll also tell you why. Because the Son is the one that bought us.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is the one that sought us.
Sure.
Woo! Yeah. And the Father is the one that brought us. Hallelujah. The Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. We can come to Jesus. We must be willing to acknowledge him as all. Amen. Lord of our life. There's a lot of people who wants to add Jesus, but when you make him Lord of your life, it's more than adding him. You turn loose of the reins and you say, God, you come in and clean house. That's why when you get saved, you really do clean house. You get rid of the things that's tearing you down. You get rid of those things that's dragging you down. The things that zap in the spirit. Hey, you might as well say amen. Hey, God, it do some of you some good right here today to get rid of some things. You might feel like shouting. You might feel like praising. You might feel like worshiping. If you get the devil out of your heart and out of your house, you might want to have revival and have church when you get the devil out of the midst. Amen.
Woo! Praise God.
We've got so much pollution in our minds and in our hearts.
Yes, sir.
And in our homes, we can't even have church today.
You're right.
Come on, Brother Jason. Come on.
I read something the other day. And this was from the publishers of all this social media stuff.
Bless it, man.
Amen. And it said that the average American spends way more than this. But at least, folks, at least spend an hour a day, they said, on social media. And they go to tell them about what they looked at. They looked at memes, shorts, videos, funny stuff. To be honest with you, most of it is stuff. Does it build your mind up towards Christ?
No. Or tear your mind down towards Christ.
Tear it down.
Come on.
Come on, brother.
I'm preaching to me and I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching all of us here.
Yes, sir.
Well, here's how you got to ask yourself something. When I get done with whatever it is that I'm spending my time on, do I feel like praying after that?
Woo. That's a good question.
Do I feel like going to church after that worship of God?
That's a good question.
Hey! Come on, God. Come on now. Is it pulling you away from God or pushing you toward God? I tell you what, after I get done praying, I feel like going to church. Hey! After I get done reading the Word of God and studying, I feel like having church. Come on. And that's why we are in America today. The gospel hasn't transformed us. We just added it to the mix. Help us, Lord, to let the gospel transform our lives.
That's good. That's good.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, I ain't gonna have time. I can see already.
Come on, brother. Come on.
Woo! Amen. Glory to God. So not only do we tell all men, not only does it transform us, but this gospel involves teaching. Jesus said it's not enough to get people to make just a profession, but then we got to teach them from that point. Sister Donnie made a great point on my sermon here today. When I graduated nursing school, Brother Charles, that was a hard endeavor. I had to pray all the way through. Old dumb feller like me made it. Amen. But I finally graduated, Sister Donnie, and I thought, well, I'm a nurse. Until I never did what you call a nurse extern. It would have helped me tremendously. But I mowed yards all the way through college to help me get through. And so I didn't really, be honest with you, know a lot about nursing, Brother Tom, until I got a job at the hospital and they assigned me to Bethany. Amen. They assigned you, and they do it a little different now, but that's how they did it back in the old days. They assigned me to a nurse for 3 months, Brother Daniel. 3 months I had to shadow that nurse. Great God. Everywhere she went, I had to go besides the bathroom. Everywhere she went, I had to follow her. She hung an IV. I was like an old puppy dog, following around there, and she had to show me how to do it. She stuck an IV. I had to go in there and watch her a time or two, and then she said, it's your turn to jab. Amen. I had to learn on the job. Amen. Hey, I had to have a teacher to teach me the way. And now here's where I'm coming down your road. Well, it's all right if the preacher teaches. It's all right if the teacher teaches. But what about me? Take somebody under your wing and teach them about the gospel. Take somebody under your wing. Get a word for somebody and show them the light of the gospel. It's up to you to be a teacher. It ain't on the preacher. It ain't on the staff of the church. But it's on everybody to teach folks how to live for God.
Right.
I've had great mentors, Brother Earl, to teach me about this book right here.
Yes, sir.
Sure.
But you know, really, some of the greatest mentors I've ever had has just been good Christian men and women in the church.
Yeah, sure.
That I looked at their life and I said, if they can live it, I can.
That's it, buddy.
If they can make it for God, I can.
Sure.
Hallelujah. Ooh. I see some of you are done, but I ain't quite done yet.
Come on.
Amen. Who is it? Amen. Who is great God to do the work? What is his work? I'm way behind. Amen. Great God. And secondly, who's to do the work? He said to go. That's to go do the work. Go. Amen. It's very simple preaching here today. Who's going to do the work? Go ye.
Yeah.
He's waiting on us.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
God, did you hear that? God's dependent on ye.
Right.
He's dependent on you to do the work.
Right.
Glory to God. Amen. This word is plural. Ye. Jesus was calling all of his disciples, amen, to go and do the work. Get busy for Christ. He told them all to be involved in the business of telling the world about him. When did we arrive at the notion that just the leaders of the church, amen, are to be the teachers and go and doing the work? When Jesus called Peter and Andrew, he promised to make them fishers of men. He was going to take them and put them into the Father's pond to catch some fish. Hey, God, over there in Mark 1:17, he said, I'll make you to become fishers of men.
All right.
Jesus promised to take them as they were and make them what they
could be. Woo! Hey! I come to tell some narrow-minded, amen, tunnel vision frame person today, you think somebody's got to come in that door living right and living holy the moment they step in that door? You're the furthest thing from a gospel Bible believing saint of God that I've ever seen. Jesus said, take them how they are, but work on them. Give them the word. Live the life in front of them. Show them the gospel. Hey, let them feel your love and spirit, and it'll mold and make them just like a Christian. Somebody love me. I'm glad I had somebody to show me the way.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
I thought you'd be shouting nobody. Yeah,
right. Hey, Jesus promised to take them how they were and make them what they could be. I preach sometime back. I'm thinking about revisiting them scriptures. But Brother Anthony, it's always touched me when Jesus had the multitude over there in that one place following him. And the disciples said, how can we feed such a multitude?
Yeah.
We don't have enough bread. We don't have enough meat. We don't even have enough money to buy enough to feed this multitude. One of them said, Lord, let's just send them away. I love this. Let's send them away. And Jesus said, Brother Chore, don't ever send them away. Jesus said, send ye not them away, but have them to sit down. And they're getting ready to see.
Hey, come on.
The hand of God. Don't ever send them out the door. Tattoos, earrings, in their nose, in their eyebrows. And I don't care
what. Come on.
Don't send them away. The gospel, it can't change.
Woo.
Men and women, I said it can't change who people are. Don't send them away.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Right. Right. Raise your hand and praise the Lord.
Thank you. Jesus, send them away.
God bless you. Bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I read a story of a fisherman. You like this, Brother George? He caught he hooked a big muskie up on Lake Erie. He was up there, Lake St. Clair. About as big as your leg. I like to see you got him in. There's a man named Larry Shaw who was testing the outboard propeller of his boat on a lake in Ohio. As he was going around the lake in certain cove, he saw a gigantic muskie lurking near the surface. Shaw monitored the situation. He began to scope out a plan how he could get this fish. He cast toward it successfully several times, right at the muskie. And all of a sudden, this gigantic fish disappeared. He moseyed on down the lake. Half an hour later, he returned back to the cove where he first spotted this big giant muskie. Guess what? He was back. Whew. Shaw turned the big motor off, turned his electric control motor on, and he headed toward this behemoth fish. As he crept closer to the muskie, suddenly started swimming toward the boat. And he thought, wow, hey man, what am I going to do now? So Shaw quickly put on a big leather glove. And the muskie was right underneath of his boat by this time. And just out of reaction, he saw that giant fish. And he took that hand with that glove and he shot it down and up through the gill of that giant muskie. And he had a fight on his hand. Fortunately, a nearby angler came over to help. And they were able to wrestle this monster, 53-pound muskie, into the boat. If he had used a rod and reel, it would have broken all records in the state of Ohio. And when asked about this fish, they asked Shaw, they said, hey man, what happened? He said, I was just in the right place at the right time. Hey man, and I was fool enough to grab a hold of him.
Yeah.
Hey,
I was just fool enough to jump out and give it a shot. I believe that's what the Lord make a difference. That's all Peter done.
Come on.
That's all James, John, Zebedee, Patty. That's all they done. Well, give it a shot. Give it a try to do something for the kingdom.
That's good.
Where is the work to be done?
Thank you, Lord.
All nations.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Oh, going to all nations. I'm going to start praying and change clothes. Going to all nations. His command transcends every creed, every ethnicity, every boundary. Yellow, why does the song say red, yellow, black, and white? We are all precious inside. It don't matter what color your skin is.
That's right.
It don't matter if you live on the poor side of the tracks or over by the park. That don't matter. Amen. The gospel will penetrate to whosoever will. Aren't you glad of that? I'm giving you a whole bucket load right here.
Come on.
But I'm already all halfway in. I might as well finish it. Hey, I come to tell us, I believe the Lord, amen, envisions his church as always being active, involved in the process of witnessing wherever you go. Oh yes, if we're doing our jobs, we should witness to those we work with. If we're checking out at the grocery store, we should witness to the one checking us out. Amen. Oh yes, if we would talk to the man who works on our car, witness to him. If we would tell a co-worker, amen, if we would talk to our neighbors, if we would talk to our classmates, talk to our families, tell everybody, have you ever met a man named Jesus who turned my life around? I was one day lost in trespassing and sin. I was one day on my way to hell, but thank God he changed me. Thank God he saved me and put me on this straight road.
Yes, he did. Hallelujah.
I believe if you know, somebody said, well, Brother Jason, I just ain't that type. We all by nature. You got to cross nature and get in the uncomfortable to do anything for God.
Amen.
Woo!
Yeah. Amen.
That's true.
Yes, sir.
It ain't my nature to get up here and sweat and spit and holler either.
Come on.
But if I'm going to do anything for God, you got to go cross nature.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Brother George, if you're going to sing, you got to cross it. Worried about what folks think and get on out there.
Right.
Amen.
Woo!
Yeah.
If we're going to have revival, you got to quit worrying about you.
Yeah.
If we're going to have a move of God, you got to quit worrying about me.
Right.
We got to start worrying about God.
Right.
Woo. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Man, I'm hungry for revival.
Come on.
I'm hungry for a move of God. Hey! I was up at that funeral the other day, and I didn't know Doris's daughter a little bit. She worked at Golden Corral up there in Barbersville. She took care of us several times up there. Amen. Oh, and she said, hey, I guess they're supposed to open up the ash and go and crowd back up, they said. And my mouth started watering. Michelle don't much like it. The kids, they like the fountain, amen, chocolate fountain and dessert bars. I like that all the chicken you can eat. I like that all the stuff. Brother Daniel, we can get our money's worth. Hey, great God, I like going to that buffet and filling it up, Brother George. Hey, God in heaven, come on, you got to cross, amen, that nature, and get past that and say, God, I'm hungry.
Woo.
I want to move a God.
Yeah.
I want a Bible in my day.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
I'm done.
Oh, Jesus.
Why is the work to be done?
Precious souls.
Primary reason we are to be actively witnessing and working for God is because we've been commanded to go tell by Jesus Christ the good news and to teach. And this means that we have no choice in the matter. If we want to be who God saved us to be, we will go tell people about Jesus and save a soul and pull them out of the flames of hell.
Amen.
There's nothing like reaching folks for Christ. And I'm not saying this in a bragging, docious way,
Brother George, but
I want you to think. It just hit me the other day when I was standing there, preaching a funeral, sitting there, looking at a crowd full of people I never knew. Preaching at a lady's funeral, Brother George, I didn't really know much. And I was just kind of thinking at one point, I was like, how do I get myself in this stuff? I'm just telling you how Jason feels. So I'm natural. I'm a person too.
Come on, buddy.
A lot of times we think preachers are not people. I'm a person too.
That's right.
And I was just thinking all this through, and the Lord kind of took me into spiritual trance, I guess you will. And I looked at least 10, 12 funerals I've preached in the last 12 years of folks that were sent here just before they died.
That's the truth.
Hang on. I never thought of it.
Yep. Sure did.
The Lord said, you love them, and you preach the gospel to them, and you show them the love of God, even if it is just before they come.
Sure.
I guess, Brother Anthony, and I'm not saying this mean at all. I'd like to see 20 more do the same.
Come on.
But I feel like the Lord was giving me a compliment, and I'm not a braggadocious person. I'm too old to worry, really care about that stuff anymore, Brother George. You can pat me on the back later and tell me good preaching, and I'll appreciate it. But if you don't tell me, I don't much care about all that stuff anymore.
Come on.
Amen. But what I do care about, I feel like the Lord spoke to me and said, I send them in there because you love them and you preach to them and you tell them the truth just before the crossing.
Hallelujah, sir.
Amen. I don't know a soul in this house. I know two ladies that are from the hospital. I kind of know them a little bit. And I'm sitting there and the Lord just spoke to me and said, I send them in there because you love them and you preach to them the truth.
Jesus.
I said, Lord, if I got to preach another 20 funerals of people I don't know, you send them in. You send them
in. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
You send them in.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want to be about the Father's business.
Amen.
I want to be about the Father's business. Brother Daniel, I mean, every man out there a lot better in this whole world. But I tell you what, I'm laying up treasures in heaven.
Right.
Woo! I said, I'm laying up treasures in heaven.
Thank you, Jesus.
How's the work to be done? Tommy, can you get me Mark 16? My finger, my hands are too sweaty. Turn. Sweat all over my body. Mark 16. Just get me them last few verses where Jesus tells them to go. You know what I'm talking about.
So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen.
Jesus said, go.
Go.
Amen. How's the work to be done? He gave him power. Amen.
Right.
Is that the verse down there where it says he gave him power to tread on scorpions? Power. Mark 16.
All right. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
He that believeth.
He that believeth.
And is baptized.
Is baptized.
Shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned.
Right.
And these signs shall follow them.
He said go. He said go preach. Go reach the lost. Go do the work of God. And you're going to have power. And these signs will follow you.
That believe.
Believe.
In my name shall they cast out devils.
Cast the devil out.
They shall speak with new tongues.
Speak in tongues.
Yeah.
They shall take up serpents.
Woo.
And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them.
Woo.
They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Woo. How are we going to do this work that he's given us to do, Brother Earl? The only way we can do it is in the power of God. Stay with me in this house. That's the only way we can do it is in the power of God. I don't want to hinder this work. I don't want to stand in the way of this work, but I want to push it on.
Yes.
I want to fan the flames.
Woo.
Amen. A revival of another day, of another generation. I want to fan the flame of revival.
Yes, God.
Woo. Hallelujah. Don't offend. Don't hinder. Don't hurt. Push along.
Yes.
Don't stand in the way of the work of God. Don't try to stop
the
gospel. Don't try to stop the Holy Ghost from moving and doing his work. I tell you what, he'll come back on you. You'll be judged for it.
That's true.
Right. Okay. A lot of times we want to move to God, but we want it in our way.
Long as that, long as it goes the way I want it to go.
Yeah.
Long as things go the way I want things to go. Mm-hmm. We're all for that, but when it ain't my way, then we try to step in the way and stop it.
Right. Yeah.
Come on.
I want it every which way it comes.
That's right. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
I mean, when I got the Holy Ghost, my cousin Bill got, I told you, you know this story. My cousin Bill got the Holy Ghost, brother, and he was about a year or so older than me, year and a half older than me. And he got the Holy Ghost, and he rolled under two or three pews, and his shirt come untucked, and his hair sticked up, and he kind of got out of it, and he looked like a wild man. And I said, Lord, I want to go Holy Ghost. And every time I got real close to it, I could see a picture of Bill. And he looked like a wild man. His shirt was out, and he went under the pews. And I said, Lord, what? And every time I really got close to it, I seen a picture of that, and I held back because I didn't want to act like it. I tell you, you got to be willing to act anyway.
That's right.
Man.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
So one night, Brother George, I got there. And two, three, four of them got the Holy Ghost. We was having a good revival, man. Several of them got the Holy Ghost. I showed up early one night. I had to at least be Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. It was later in the week. I showed up at 6 o'clock, had a key to the church, lived a mile from the house, rode my bike up to the church. I was about 15 or so. I can't really exactly remember. I was somewhere around there. And I rode my bike up to the church, Brother George, and I got there at 6 o'clock. Church started at 7. I got in that altar, and I said, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost of tonight. I want it tonight.
Yes.
I prayed all the way to 7 o'clock church start. They wouldn't have started having church, man. I never got up. I kept on praying. I can't remember. It was pretty late. 8, 9 o'clock. I prayed. I was prayed out. But finally, I got real close to the Holy Ghost, and I got that same old vision of Bill kicking and jerking and jumping and hair sticking up, and his shirt was hanging out. And I said, God, if I've got to act like Bill, give me the Holy Ghost. God in heaven. You know what? I got a God's way. Amen.
Yes.
And you know what? Well, I had to get it acting like Bill. Amen. Woo! What are you willing to do for the gospel? Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to go all the way into the end? Are you willing to, amen, sweat and spit and holler and scream? Are you willing to stand on the street corner? Are you willing to strum a guitar and preach to the dope heads down on West now? Are you willing to go to the nursing home and tell some? Are you willing to go down the hospital and knock on the sick doors and tell some? There's a lot to be done. Let's do the work of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I probably preached too long here today. They really had this burning on my heart. Jesus said, it'd be better that a millstone be hung about your neck and be cast into the sea than one of these little ones, my brother. I don't want to offend you.
No.
I want to push you. God, I want to push your work. Bow your head with me right here. We're going to pray, Lord. Go ahead, Sister Missy, get us the tune here. Lord, I thank you for the Spirit of God we felt today. Lord, you've been in this place from the start all the way through. We thank you for that. We need you. We want you, Lord, to have your boat and have your way in our services. God, I believe there's some folks been holding back, amen. I believe there's some folks that haven't been busy trying to do what you've called us to do, amen. I believe there's some folks that just get satisfied sitting on the same seat, sitting on the same pew, amen, every night the same. Great God, doing the same old methods, praying the same old two-minute guided prayer, reading the same old chapter, 2 minutes before they go to bed every night. Give us somebody that's hungry for a new move of God. Give us somebody that's hungry for the work of God to move in their heart and life again. Right here on this Sunday afternoon, you'll be the first to step out. Come on, let's get these altars. Let's cry out, Lord, I want to be about your Father's business. God, I want to be about your business. I want to do your work. I want to push the work of God down. Away, but I want to be a utensil that's used in your work. Lord, come on. He wants to use you. He wants to bring you up closer. Maybe I preached to you that you didn't want to transform. He wants to transform you today.